Do you need rest? Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." Now he's telling us right there, he has completed his task. God has created everything and everybody and every living, breathing, flying, swimming, crawling organism. God has created everything. He says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." Verse 2 says, "And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made." Verse 3, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made." Let us pray. Lord, again, we bow here before You with Your Word open before us, Lord, asking for Your guidance with the Holy Spirit. May You guide and direct our hearts. May You stir within us. May You help us set aside our opinions, that we may seek the truth that You have for us in this book that's open before us. We pray for Your guidance this morning. We pray the words will be clear and correct. We ask that You just move upon us, guide and direct us. And again, I ask for You to get Jamie out of the way here this morning, Lord. Let Your Holy Spirit take over and move upon us as only You can. Again, I thank You. I love You. I appreciate You. And I ask for Your forgiveness in my life. And these favors we ask in Christ's name. And amen. Now, in studying about that, we see that God rested when He was done with His work. Now, in my thoughts, before we go on into the part of rest, what else was there for God to do? God created everything. It was finished. He said it was finished. And He went in to rest. He rested. So remain focused on that seventh day time period of rest. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to be discussing the whole chapter, so to speak. We'll just break it down as we go. And the book of Hebrews is a letter written to Hebrew Christians, which were Hebrews were the Jewish people, and they were ones that had accepted Jesus as Savior. That was ones that had followed Christ, ones that had come to believe the Word of God. Now, the danger that was going on, why Paul wrote this letter to them, was because there was a danger of them reverting back to Judaism, which we know Judaism is the law, is religious rituals, and things of that nature. So he's writing this to encourage them to continue to follow Christ. And that's the point today, is for us to know where we can find rest. Now, to get this out there real quick, the rest that he's talking about is not sitting back in your recliner with your feet up, taking it easy, watching whatever you want to watch or doing the phone thing or whatever. That's not even remotely close to the rest that he's talking about here today. That's not what God did when He rested on the seventh day. He didn't quit. He didn't lay down. He didn't stop being God. He was God. He created everything as it is, as brought Him pleasure. Remember, on the seventh day when He rested, that was before sin had entered in. So it was a perfect environment. We got to realize that. On the seventh day, God had created a perfect environment. Now, that brings me, and I mentioned this before, there's a time where folks are wanting to get back to normal. Ask yourself, what is normal? Normal in December, before the virus, was not the same as normal 10 years prior to that, and 10 years prior to that, and 10 years prior to that. Normal went away when sin entered into the world. We're talking about God's rest on the seventh day. That was normal as God had created it. We got to realize that. We've got to accept that. We're not going to have normal in this life. It's not, even if it goes back to the way it was in December of 2019 before the virus came, that's not normal, folks. That's not normal. We might call that comfortable because that's what we were used to. But those that are well, even in 20 years, look at the difference you saw just in your life. If you're a 20-year-old, look at the difference you saw things change in this world, in this country, in this community, just in your lifetime. Now think about the older folks, the 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, the things, the change, the things that you have seen. What was normal there? Can you put your finger on a normal? I just did. The seventh day when God rested, that is normal. So that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. God's normal. God's rest. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Oh, and he talked about, again, in his letter to the Hebrew Christian, he was telling them, encouraging them, enter into the rest that God was talking about on day 7. Enter into the rest by faith. And that's faith in what? Faith in Jesus Christ. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 set the foundation. Paul set the foundation of Christ. That's where we need to go to find our rest, is in the finished work of Christ. Nothing else will do. Nothing else will satisfy. Nothing else will complete the need in your life but to follow into the steps of Jesus and accept by faith the finished work of Christ. His blood, His perfect life, His perfect death, His perfect shed blood, His perfect resurrection. That's where we'll find rest. That's the seventh day that God rested. That's where we'll find rest, is through Jesus Christ, through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm going to end up clear down there one of these days. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. God, who at let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of. Just a quick comment on the word fear. That means reverence. Do you reverence God? Do you realize He is the Creator and He is above all? It's not fear like I'm afraid of getting run over by a car. It's respect for the Creator, the all-omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God that created each and every one of us. That's what that fear means. We are to reverence Him. We are to stand in awe of Him and His creation. And the word, in that place right there, the word rest, if you look it up in the concordance, in the original Greek language, it means His abode. And what is an abode? That's where we live. That's where we stay. That's where our foundation is laid. That's where we're at. It's not rest like leaning on a fence post, taking a break. It's entering into His presence. It's entering into His rest. It's entering into what He created and finished, and when He rested on the seventh day. That's His abode. Do you want to be in His abode today? There's no chaos in His abode. It's in this world. I want to be in His abode today. I want to be in His rest. How about you? Verse 2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached. And we know what the gospel is. The gospel is the truth. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is His perfect life. The gospel is the perfect sacrifice. For unto us was the gospel preached, and it has been preached here many times, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They heard it, but they didn't enter into it. They didn't receive it. And that goes on today. We are free will people. You can talk to somebody till you're blue in the face, but you cannot make them accept Jesus as Savior. And that's not up to us to do. It's up to us to share the gospel, just as they heard the gospel preached. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. And there again, that means abode. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, again, it means abode, because we're going to hit a place where it's different here. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And that is God's works. And in this place again, verse 4, and for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And right there, it means rest. Just what it says means rest. Verse 5, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. There's where it's back to God's abode. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enters not. Why did it enter not? Why did they not get into the rest? Why? Because of unbelief. And there again, I wrote down right there, I'm emphasizing the real normal, what God had finished. What he was resting from on day 7 was his abode. That's the real normal. I'm going to read verses 6 through 13 right now. It says, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying to David, today, for so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Maybe I'm speaking this morning to somebody that maybe has rejected the gospel. Maybe hadn't fully committed to the gospel of Christ. He's saying right there, hearken. And hearken means to listen, to respond, to grasp, to enter in. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you don't consider God the creator of all, I ask you to hearken to the Word of God here this morning and listen what the Holy Spirit may be stirring in your heart this day. And hearken. Respond to it. Answer the call. Heed the need in your life. For we know there is no hope in this world. I talk to folks around about times that really don't have much church affiliation at all. But they will admit there's something wrong. There's something wrong. And it's obvious. The world is upside down. The Bible says toward the end times, wrong will be right and right will be wrong. Are we there? Are we there? We are there. Prophecy is being fulfilled in front of us daily right now. There was a time when we said that stuff's going to happen out there. We are there. It's here. It's time for us to enter into His rest. We got to seek His rest. Verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. It's available. It's out there. Verse 10. For he that entered into his rest, abode, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. And what he's pointing out right there is for us to trust His rest, for us to trust the work of God, for us to trust the gift of God. Which, what is the gift of God? Salvation through Jesus Christ. He offered that. We didn't ask for it. We were trying to work our way. We were slaughtering animals. We was trying to cover our sin with animal blood. We were going through a flawed priest. As we're going to see here in the next few verses, that we have a perfect priest that we can enter into rest. Verse 11 says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest," again, abode, "lest any man fall after the example of unbelief." And I looked that word up about labor, because we know that is connected to work. But in that sense right there, the labor means to continue in His rest. Continue to seek His rest. Continue to abide in His rest. Just real quick, because verse 12 clarifies, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts." That is so powerful a scripture right there. His Word. His Word is final truth. His Word is the final answer. His Word is the final rest. His Word is what we are to seek. Do you want that rest? Do you want to continue in that rest? You do. Yes. Praise the Lord. And how are we going to do that? By continually seeking the Word of God. Because that is the truth. We can look at a dictionary. We can look at a commentary. But the Word of God is the final answer. I've read a lot of good commentaries that I put some trust and faith in. But none of them can equal, none of them can replace, none of them can compare to the written Word of God. Do you believe this morning that the Word of God is inspired from God Himself? Amen. That's where we need to be. That's the labor He's talking about. Let's continue seeking God in His Word. Let's continue seeking God in prayer. I heard a good sermon this morning on my phone about seeking Him in the little things and the big things. It's not, "Hey God, what do you think? Okay, good day." No, it's passion. It's getting on our knees and on our face in a personal relationship with God in heaven. That's where we're going to find rest. There's never going to be rest on this earth. I hope you know that. I hope you believe that this day. We got to enter into rest through Jesus Christ. To partake in that seventh day, that perfect rest that God created. I thank the Lord for His Word. I thank the Lord for the authority that is written before us. I thank the Lord that we have the opportunity that we can open it and we can dig into it. And we have the Comforter that Jesus said, "I must go so I can send the Comforter." And He sent the Comforter to us, who has accepted Him as Savior. And He will guide us. He can be the teacher of His Word. Who better to teach? I think we got great teachers here. I do. I appreciate them and I learn from them and I ask them questions. They mean a lot to us. But the final authority is the Holy Spirit is the best teacher. I pray and I know that many of our teachers, they would rather take a punch in the gut than tell us something wrong. Same right here. I know Dave would echo what I'm saying. We would rather take a punch in the gut. I'd rather eat a bowl full of coronavirus than to say something hurtful or something wrong out of the Word of God. That's why I say we got to lay aside all of our opinions, because our opinions are pulled out of the air. Our opinions are what we've heard from over here. Our opinions are what we saw over there. And sometimes our opinions are made up of nothing. Well, I think the Word of God is the final authority. That's where we'll find rest. I'm about done. It says, I'm going to read verses 14 through 16. And this caps it off right here. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Stand firm, he's telling us. We're being called out on this day, this very day. We're being called out as Christians. They want to get us out of here. They want to wipe us off the map. They want to take away the churches. They want to take away the Word of God. They want to take away Bible-believing, Bible-teaching churches. They're okay with the ones that's not. But we have a high priest. Says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings or infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, that's comparing Jesus, the high priest, to the priest of the Old Testament that did the sacrificing. And I'm sure they did what they thought was best, but they were flawed men, just like you and me today. We might as well try to, if we've not accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we might as well present ourselves as a sacrifice before God, and it will not be accepted. The only sacrifice that's accepted for your and my sin is the blood of Jesus. That's the priest that we have. We can rest assured of His perfection. We will always fail in our own efforts. And finishing up, verse 16 says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that does not mean to come arrogantly to the throne of grace. That means come boldly, knowing the finished work of Christ, knowing that we have a perfect intercessor in Jesus Christ. I find rest in that. I hope you find rest in that this day, in this complicated day in which we live. And I looked up those words, grace and mercy. And the definition of grace says, indicates favor on the part of the giver. Who gives grace? God. He is the only one that can give grace. We cannot give grace. It says, and it's also thanks on the part of the receiver. Are you thankful for grace this morning? Are you thankful for grace this morning? Are you thankful for the opportunity to receive grace this morning? I am. Says, another definition is, grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. If you know the Scriptures at all, you know what we deserve. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have fallen short of the glory of God. We deserve separation, eternal separation from God. But He give us that. Not that we earned it, not that we deserved it. He gave us the opportunity for salvation. Mercy, it says, God not giving us what we do deserve. Now, I was thinking about that. There's no way any human being can extend grace to anybody. But now, mercy is something that we might show, but it won't be to the depths of the mercy that God shows. If you look in this book of Psalms, there's many, many places where David And we know David was a man after God's own heart. That David is crying out for mercies from God. That's where we'll find our rest, is seeking mercies from our God. That is the place of rest. That is the time of rest. And that is the hope of rest. It was on the seventh day when God rested. That's when the world was normal. That's when it was as God intended it to be. That's the rest that He's talking about. And we have the opportunity to live in that rest through Jesus Christ. Just a couple more verses and then I'll be done. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you" what? Rest. I need rest. Do you need rest? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Learn of me. Jesus is telling us to learn of Him. Think about that. Who knows all there is to know about Jesus? We all need to learn. It says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." That means Jesus cares for you deeply. "And ye shall find rest for your souls." Now that's a clarification. We're never going to find rest in these physical bodies on this earth. We are not. There's many places Satan wants us to look that think that we'll find rest, we'll find peace, we'll find happiness. But that's all temporary. There is no rest in this life. It is trusting in Jesus Christ. Put our rest in Him, in His finished work. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Well, I'm thinking about when I think Greg taught on that. Maybe it was Sean. I can't remember for sure. But when they hooked up to the yokes, you are hooked up alongside of Jesus. Who else is better to be hooked up to? Nobody. 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 Put your trust and faith in Jesus and you will find rest. So I'm inviting Christian, if you're struggling today, seek the Lord in each and everything. Check your foundation. Be sure it is solely on the death, burial, and resurrection. The full truth, the gospel of Christ. And if you're not a Christian here this day, maybe the Lord's stirring in your heart here this morning. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the first step in seeking that rest. Today, you can accept Jesus as your Savior. He's calling out right now. He's stirring right now. If He's moving upon your heart, please respond right now. Hey, Joy, you got a song? There's a need. Give it up to Jesus this morning.